Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cheese and Pickle.
Six, seven, eight.
Six. Good, isn't it?
Thank you very much, strange dark lord who's just broken into the studio. Welcome to Come Strictly Dancing Halloween week. Yes, it's 6 weeks into the competition, and we will be talking about all of the bats and the crows and the
cogwebs,
cauldrons and cogwebs,
skeletons and cogwebs.
Hey! Yeah. I am still Julia Rayside, and he is still Joel Morris. Shall we get on with it?
Yes, might as well.
All right, then. Well, let's begin with the obviously the essential. They've been doing a lot of ghostly and sort of Halloween-y VTs this week. On social media, they did like a whole Stranger Things thing.
Right.
Which sort of didn't work. And now they did this like ghost story thing to open the Halloween show. And then at the end, Craig does like the evil laugh in close-up. Yeah. And even his head dances when he's doing laugh acting. It's like he can't physically stop the dance muscles from twitching. Like, it's uncontrollable.
He's always in motion.
He is.
I like the torch
like a shark
gag.
Or he'll die.
I like Tyler's torch gag.
Yeah,
I like
that
the fact
was
they can
brilliant.
Use Tyler for torches. I'm giving applause to anyone in the script department, Rob Colley, etc., who's been, if they get any jokes to land at all,
that's
a prize.
Yeah, there were a couple of good ones tonight, but I didn't write them down. I apologise to the people who've taken ages to write them.
There were a couple of good ones, and I liked it. And it's a nice thing to do to get them all acting and being a bit Scooby-Doo. And I know what you did last summer, and all. It was fun.
It was cute.
Halloween's a good week for those VTs. They don't feel quite as forced.
Exactly. We obviously have to talk about the judges and the costumes they chose.
Whoa!
Woohoo!
It was sensational.
So I don't know. I've mentioned this on the podcast before. If you've ever read Craig Revel Horwood's memoir, which has a brilliant title that I've also forgotten because my memory is absolutely
Glittery Balls.
It's Glittery Balls by Craig Revel Horwood. And it starts with him walking down, I think, the Champs-Élysées in Paris, and he kills off his drag alter ego in the way that you'd expect Craig Revel Horwood to kill her off. So the fact that he's come back to drag is kind of like rather lovely because he is really good at it.
Yeah, it was a sensational entrance. And another one of those kind of, I don't know, I do like, it's a massive mainstream show.
Yeah.
And I do like its occasional FU Middle Englandness, that it will go,
it's
right,
getting more frequent now,
drag
I think.
Queen, let's just go for it.
And yeah, Johannes being in sort of drag as well for his routine. And
it was
stuff.
Really fun.
I like how they're not even, it doesn't even appear to be a thing. It's like, well, this is our world. We're just putting it on screen. Like,
also,
it's not a big thing.
It's always been the rules for Saturday night. That's why Larry Grayson could run
and
Saturday night.
Panto, for God's
yeah,
sake.
It's that beautifully safe British subversion and sort of oddness that I think is really nice.
I like it too. I also really enjoyed Shirley dragging up as Gomez Adams.
Yeah.
And then for some reason thinking that meant Gomez Adams.
Yeah, that name.
Was a posh British man.
Because he had a moustache.
Because he's wearing a pinstripe suit.
Yes.
It's like, no, not the guy from Mary Poppins, Shirley. Gomez Adams from
David Domlin's son from the Adams family. Yeah, it was very, very good.
And
Motsy's sci-fi outfit this week, the closest I could get was Gwendolyn Christie's smashed half a skull silver helmet from The Rise of Skywalker.
I think that's probably what she was aiming for.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think so. Half a smashed Gwendolyn Christie.
She did look fantastic. Also, Anton, clearly that wig had somehow penetrated his skull and
like
made him really odd.
It was like something from a Hammer or from Dead of Night, where a man puts on a wig that had belonged to an evil murderer.
Exactly, or like you've had a hand transplant from an evil pianist or something. It's like, it's one of those.
Yes, he was wearing Charles I's head. It was amazing.
Right, come on then, let's get on with the dancing. So we go first to Tony and Katia, who obviously were the surprises of the night. We'll discuss in more detail in a minute whether that's a good thing or not. They did a quick step to The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And as usual, the choreography, no surprises, was amazing. I watched it and thought, oh, he's quite good, isn't he? But I didn't think he was as good as the judges thought he was. I thought he was markedly better than in previous weeks, but he was still doing that concentrate-y, not really with it face. They didn't even remark on the fact that his performance was so clenched and like he was really, because of the height difference, he's always looking down his nose at Katia.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like his jaw is set and he's really, I don't know. I didn't think it was like 100 times better than he has been, but he was definitely better.
It was a big improvement. I wrote unclenched. I mean, he was clenched. I was clenched.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I was unclenched. I wasn't worried. I suddenly thought, oh, I'm not worried you're going to screw this up.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I was surprised they didn't say. I mean, he was so markedly improved that you might forget the fact he's not a great performer and he wasn't the devil and it didn't work. You're not the devil. You're just a rather camp man, as Armstrong and Miller once said.
Very naughty footballer.
Yeah, you're a very naughty footballer. I need to sit down. But yeah, so that stuff, which I think they would criticise in other people they let him go with, but it was good.
It wasn't it?
And the choreography was great. And Katia is, and I wrote down, a miracle worker.
She really is.
What you're watching here is something you very rarely get a chance to see, a side effect of the underdog thing, which is someone who's really not very good. And 6 weeks later, the concentrated effort they put in has turned them into being a little bit better.
Somewhat of a dancer.
It's
she actually can turn somebody who's not a dancer into one. That's how good she is. The judges were agog. They were in shock. Shirley was on her hind legs talking about how shocked she was and that the footwork was lovely. Captain Hook, a.k.a. the Phantom Dubec, I think they called him on the night, said, "You're unrecognisable," to which the reply was obviously, "So are you, mate, with your haunted wig." but he called him a proper dancer. Craig said, "Welcome to the ballroom, darling."
Nicely done.
And Motsy said, "Look at you now, what a surprise." And he got 7 from Craig, 8 from everybody else. It's his highest ever score. He's in the 30s.
I think there was a lot of surprise in there. I was going, that's probably a 6s and 7s dance for him.
Yeah.
But it dazzled them enough for it to be
8. I was certainly at a 6s and 7s when he finished.
You were.
But we'll have to discuss, I mean, either now or later if you want to, whether it's a good thing that Tony is now not utter shit.
Yeah.
Because being utter shit in the face of, you know, everything, all the training and all the advice from the judges was kind of his USP. And now if he's just averagely not terrible, he suddenly isn't the classic underdog anymore.
Yeah. Well, it used to be, but Craig would put a paddle up and immediately people would rush to their phones.
Exactly.
Because he's got a 3 and it seems really unfair and you want to support him.
Yeah.
Him being mid-table, interestingly, as we will see as the thing goes on, obviously, I think people's interest in, oh my God, where did that come from, will probably last a week or two.
I know.
I'm not sure if he's got it in him to stick there or to suddenly become Molly.
I think he'll be shit again next week.
And
it's yet unclear whether we'll like that or not like that.
Well, I want to see him fall on the floor, clutch his knee and roll around like a footballer does.
Like a footballer.
And get loads of sympathy and then get loads of tens. That's the only solution. A really, really bad dive in Craig's box.
Steady. Okay, now we move on to... Oh, no, before we move on, actually, because the terms and conditions are a bit underwhelming again this week.
Hang on.
Tony,
we don't go past the terms and conditions. Stormzy's cardigan.
No, okay, fair enough. He was wearing a cardigan. Before we get to his knitwear, can we just...
Should we start again?
Take... No, we should just carry on.
Oh, right, fair enough.
You're such a perfectionist. No, before we moved on, I wanted to mention something that Tony said. So just after his bit, when he was with Claudia, he apologised to Shirley... and said something about, "I'm sorry I said so-and-so."
Did Shirley go home?
I think he said something about her not knowing. He must have been off mic or off camera about her not knowing what she was talking about. She obviously held no grudge this week. She gave him an 8. But there was, did you not remember last week? He was ever so slightly tetchy.
Yeah.
And on camera with Claudia last week, he said something about the judges being hard on them.
Yeah.
And Anton going, "Oh, do you reckon?" And it all being a bit,
bit eggy.
Got a little bit tasty. I wonder if he had somewhat of a tantrum last week, maybe as the credits rolled. But anyway, he made a public apology to Shirley and they didn't cut back to Shirley to see how she was reacting. So maybe she either wasn't listening or they thought it was best to just barrel
over
it.
Beef?
There was definitely something going on. I mean, not on camera. She was being very professional, but... why did he say sorry to Shirley? If anyone knows, write in and say.
Right, now Stormzy's cardigan.
Anyway, so Stormzy wore a cardigan in a boring room with no Halloween
at all.
He's at
home with Stormzy in Stormzy House.
At home with Stormzy. Makes it sound like he should have been in a rocking chair like Val Doonican.
No, I liked Stormzy's car.
I wrote sweet but uneventful. I want an event.
I like it when the stars of grime and garage and things become national treasures and they turn up in a cardigan. It's like when Dizzy Rascal did the Olympics opening ceremony. He went, oh, the nation's taken to its bosom. I like it. The cardigan is a mark of acceptance. And I liked, again...
Stormzy. I just also wasn't really getting strong, like, personality.
I'm just saying, alongside opening with a drag queen, this is one of the slightly subversive things that Strictly does. We're into the nation's front rooms. It will drop Stormzy in a cardigan. And I applaud it.
Okay, so now we go on to Will and Nancy, who did a cha-cha-cha to Mama Told Me Not To Come. Not really Halloween-y, but they decided to translate Mama to Mummy.
Yeah.
So they dressed them in bandages.
I did want Dave Arch and the band to sing Mummy, and I'm annoyed they didn't.
Mummy Told Me Not To Come. Would have been good, wouldn't it? Mm. So, again, one of those ones where they put so much character, as in, it was more zombies than mummies, but just generally undead, reanimated corpses.
Maybe they're the same thing. Who knows?
Technically, I don't even know how you do. I mean, maybe someone expert in the Supernatural could also write in and say. But they were kind of doing the kind of basically weird dead, we've got rigor mortis kind of dance moves.
Thriller dancing.
Yes, which is good for the cha-cha-cha in one way, but also makes it hard to detect what's characterization and what's technique. So yeah. It's one of those ones where I watch it thinking, I don't know if this is good or not. I genuinely can't tell because there's a lot of, you know, physical characterization going into it that might otherwise cover the technique. Luckily, the judges were here to tell us that they did actually really well. The only thing he didn't do was turn his feet slightly out for Latin. He was slightly pointing in, apparently. But they were praising of his isolation and his control, his hip action, his body rolls.
It was good. The top and the bottom being independent,
which
was
the
visibly
hardest
clever.
Ever thing, and that's obviously very good. I just don't know if I enjoyed the routine that much. But then maybe with cha-cha-chas, I often don't because I'm not sure why they're good when they're good.
I find well,
and I can
oddly
enjoy bad ones because they look more fluid, perhaps to me.
Yeah,
it lost. That means they haven't straightened their legs.
It didn't have any fluidity, which was part of the choreography. So it was hard to judge whether you were enjoying it or not.
Even Shirley said maybe a zombie or a mummy would lead with their heel, even though you're not supposed to on the cha-cha-cha.
Oh,
okay. So, you know, I think maybe
she likes Will. He's adjudicator friendly, isn't he?
Exactly. He's very adjudicator friendly. Although I don't know. It's funny. Later on, when somebody else was dancing, he was clapping, you know, and they do a cutaway shot to the other dancers clapping once they've danced, clapping their friends. And he was clapping in a very look at me, still in character way. He was doing like sort of robotic, stiff zombie clapping. And I just thought, huh, it's not about you anymore. And you don't like that, do you? I'm sorry. Now I know he's friends with Lee Francis. I'm just looking for signs of weakness.
I must admit, I find him, week one, I found him an incredibly easy dancer to watch.
Me too.
And I don't anymore.
No.
And I'm slightly...
I think it's my fault. I think I've poisoned you against him.
No, not necessarily. I find... Because he's... In the first week, it was this sensational burst of energy.
Mm.
And what it seems to be from then on is a little bit like Richie was for a while. They're trying to rein that natural exuberance and show off into discipline. And so this was a good week for him to sort of say, do a stiff dance. Don't throw your arms around all over the place. But oddly, it makes him slightly less enjoyable than I would find him. That exuberance and that desire to impress, I can feel always straining against the choreography.
Yes.
And this was a perfect week where the choreography was deliberately restrictive and you could see him straining against it, which meant I didn't quite enjoy it as much as I should have done.
Yeah,
he's a really good dancer.
He's undoubtedly good, but I think the flame has gone out for me. I think I've got the ick.
Yeah.
I think I've been dating him for 2 weeks and I've realised that I don't like his friends. And actually, what does that say about him? And now, there you go. I'm sorry, I'm that easily swayed. It's pathetic, isn't it, really?
Anyway, what did the judges say?
The judges gave them all eights, not all sixes, as is traditional on Halloween. No one did the 666 thing, which is very annoying. No, he got all eight, so that's really good marks. And, you know, just left him just in the higher mid-table. So definitely in danger, because everyone's mid-table effectively this year. So it's really, I mean that in a good way. Everyone's at such a standard that no one really falls desperately low or dizzyingly high.
If Tony can dance, we're in a very weird place.
Oh, we're screwed, aren't we? So next, this is one of my dances of the night. I absolutely loved this. I always clench for a rumba, never can't clench for a rumba because you're always told endlessly how hard it is and how, and even in the training VT that I think Kim mentioned that no one gets very good scores for a rumba. So it's like, you know, hopes are never high. But I love the concept. It was to Madonna's Frozen. It was in a kind of ice palace. There were crows.
CGI watch, crows.
Quite like the crows. Although the crows, again, did get in the way of the ring of the dance.
At the beginning, crows out of the way. I had big, big points for the crows there and then flew in the way.
Yeah, no, no, no. They didn't get rid of them quickly enough. Again, when they've got the budget, you can see they'll just spend it until they're good and ready to stop spending.
It was like a bird strike. It was like a jet had flown into some crows. It was upsetting. But I like them when they're at the sides. Keep the crows at the side.
It was like Sean Connery was there with his umbrella, yeah. Like flapping them up into the wings of a jet engine, or the engine of a jet engine. Anyway, so yes, the Ice Palace and crows I loved. I thought she looked absolutely fantastic. And I just thought everything about her performance in this was brilliant. Her shaping was gorgeous. The staccato bits where she suddenly whips around in his arms, yeah, and stuff. The costume brilliantly complementing that. This is the one I think I enjoyed watching the most. I think to make this look that easy, and for me, she does make dancing look easy, it takes real skill. She's got incredible control because that's a slow push-pull, tense, exposing dance, and she made it look like she just made it up on the spot. I thought it was lovely.
I think we completely take her for granted. She's a really good dancer. She's always one of the best things in the night. And at the end of the night, you always forget she's been amazing. And don't forget as well, because as you saw in the rehearsal package, she is so old that she has grandchildren who give
her
a name. Who give her a nickname like a Russian grandmother. Yeah. She's called Yaga or something. Oh, come to Yaga. Like she's 400 years old, unable to dance like this. She's the only person who actually is dead in Halloween. But yeah, she's astonishingly good for she is a grandmother.
For anyone.
But she's brilliant. And yeah, I loved it. And I wrote down fluid, dramatic, she good. And
she
I think
good.
Every week I write almost the same thing. She's really, really good at this.
She's just such a brilliant, brilliant dancer. So Craig said something about her needing more reach, even though she had total control and it was immaculate, but something about being bigger and how she's a soap actress. She's in like Waterloo Road and she's done Corrie. She knows how to do small, and Graziani is always telling her to make the acting bigger.
Yeah.
And I think that goes through into the body as well. So even though I thought it looked beautiful, I could see how maybe another half an inch of reach when she's doing those arm extensions would have made it even more gorgeous.
It was an interesting thing to say. It turned up a couple of times tonight. It happened with Helen Skelton as well. And I think what you've got with people who are really, really good on camera,
yeah,
like a Blue Peter presenter and a soap actor, and people sort of go, oh, acting soaps isn't very subtle. You go, no, the camera's right in your face. You've got to come way down. It's not theatrical acting.
Have you ever seen that? Those brilliant, they were on BBC Two
acting
in like
masterclass.
The 80s. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Michael Caine just doing the, here's how you deliver a line on camera and on stage. And it was like, how did you do that?
Yeah,
it was amazing.
This is people who are very, very good at making small gestures in close-up on camera, learning to make enormous stage gestures. And Helen Skelton said it. Every time I think I'm leaning right back, I look back at the footage and I'm just leaning back a couple
exactly.
of inches.
Exactly.
Everything needs
it's
to be
It's like
big.
Me when I do my makeup. Like we went to see ABBA last week and it was like, do some crazy makeup. And I was like, I'm going to do blue eyeliner. I've gone completely insane. And in the photos, it's like, you just look normal.
Yeah, it's having the confidence to go sometimes. And again, when you watch someone like Craig, who is constantly dancing, or any of the judges with their enormous movements, and you go, if you met that person in real life, that would be just completely
well
overwhelming.
Over the top, yeah.
But it lands perfectly in dance.
But anyway, it did go down really well. Anton said she was back on form. She was amazing. Motsy said it was stunning. She had presence. She had beautiful legs. And there was difficulty
two of them.
Literally, one, two. yeah, they all pretty much loved it. Craig and Motsy gave eights, and Shirley and Anton, who I trust in matters like this, well, Shirley especially, gave her nines. It's Kim's highest score of the series. And also, I didn't realise Graziano's first rumba.
Yeah, it was honestly
delightful.
Very impressive. Nice work.
Honestly, if I had to watch another one again now, immediately, it would be that. I loved it. Now we move on to James and Amy, who I think were saddled with the most kind of un-Halloween-y concept of the
what
night.
What the hell?
Yeah, okay,
was going
good.
On
I'm glad.
Here.
I'm glad you said that.
By the Frozen thing, that's not a story. It's not the story of Frozen. It's not a horror story at all.
No.
I don't know who is in charge of the storytelling this week, but none of them have read. This isn't M.R. James's The Beekeeper. It's not Shirley Jackson's The Wasp. It's not a thing that exists in horror. Wes Craven's The Man with a Net on His Head. It was the weirdest thing. She was an evil bee.
I don't know if you didn't. Was she evil? I mean, you can't really be, because Charleston's the funny dance.
Yeah.
So she couldn't even really, nobody could, so they couldn't, the evil was off the table. So now, so right, we're doing a funny dance. Your concept is, you're a bee and he's a beekeeper with talc in his hair for no obvious reason. Like he wasn't playing any character
beekeeper?
That I could, I just don't know.
Now we know, if you're doing horror and bees, there's only one costume you're allowed.
I know what you're going to say.
Nicolas Cage Wicker Man remake. No, no, not the bees.
By the way, if you haven't seen Nicolas Cage's The Wicker Man, it's one of the best things I've ever watched.
Sensational film. No, not the bees. The goddamn bees.
No, it's killing me won't save your goddamn bees.
Get off the bike. It's, but if you've got that to play with and you've got a proper knowledge mm-hmm. of the horror canon, mm-hmm. that's what you do with bees.
It's really not hard.
Or The Swarm with Michael Caine. It's as simple as that.
Anyway, they did a kind of quite a nice VT beforehand where James is being continually haunted by the ghosts of EastEnders' Strictly Contestants Past.
Yes.
That was quite cute. The routine was cute. It was fine. He didn't really quite have the bounce and retraction. I know it wasn't a jive, but like the kind of the I mean, he's such a long, tall, you know, rangy chap. He didn't quite have the kind of rubbery limbs needed
for Charleston.
It was
lumpy, wasn't it? And we've seen some really good, funny Charlestons. And it was just, basically, even if you get over the fact this isn't a very good horror or Halloween setup, there's a way of doing it and making it a wacky thing. It didn't feel like a Charleston to me.
It didn't have the kind of up energy quite needed, I think.
And obviously you've got... She's such an energetic performer.
Yeah.
And it saddled her with being on a Kirby wire at the beginning.
Which is really annoying.
And then while
too.
They take her out of the rig, he has to dance on his own for a bit.
Which he did pretty well.
Yeah, but by that point you go, well, I've forgotten it's a Charleston. He wasn't really, it lacked something.
It wasn't, the Charleston's normally the one where you get to really razzle dazzle, show off, do a couple of lifts, chuck your partner around. He did do some lifts, you know, it was hard. It was his first lift.
Yeah, first lift, wasn't it? Yeah.
And she seemed really happy at the end. She said she was buzzing.
She was, that's nice.
Very funny. So the judges were, you know, They weren't thrilled and they weren't devastated. It was kind of a somewhere in the middle.
He's so mid-table, isn't he, James?
Unfortunately, not this week. But yes, I know what you mean in terms of just, you know, what he brings. In any other series, he'd be doing really well. But would he, though? I'm not sure. We say that every year. There are some average dancers who in another series might shine. Yeah. I just think the standard's too high in Strictly now. If you're him... You're never going to rise to the top, I think. Motsy opened her scoring or the judge's remarks by saying he had a lovely personality, which again is like, if Motsy tells you that, you really are fucked.
Yeah. She
said he needed to give more musicality and that maybe that, you know, that it wasn't the performance he could have given. Shirley said everyone's bringing their best games today. But he needed to introduce some changes of energy, and then she had a kind of breakdown where she demonstrated what changes of energy might look like, and it looked like she was having a stroke.
He had brought games in, but the game he brought in was a weird bee game that no one else likes playing. He should have just brought in Kaplunk.
It should have been Kaplunk, definitely. Anton said he really enjoyed elements of it, which is again never a good
lovely personality. And bits of it were good.
And he did say obviously they were James's first lift, but he was throwing Amy down rather than placing her down. Time to start working on finishing things. Obviously, he won't get that chance now, as we know. And then Craig said that his right foot didn't have as much swivel as his left and that he needed to dance more between the steps, but that he loved the lifts, that he loved that he tried them, but then went on to whack out his six paddle, which, you know, I think wasn't great. I think, but probably accurate, all the others got their sevens out because I think, I don't know, they're just not using their lower paddles anymore, those judges.
It's strange. About week six is a point at which six becomes the equivalent of a four. If someone gives you a six, that's absolutely damning.
Yeah, kind of, I think, because again, the standard is way higher than that now. And you either are the plucky underdog and you have that T-shirt already.
Yeah.
Or you're out, because you just can't get scores like that in week six. Everyone else is getting better at such a rate.
It's too late for him to become the underdog, which is a real shame. And it is literally, as we now know, too late.
R.I.P.
That's quite spooky.
Okay, now we move on to Molly and Carlos, who were kind of playing the Stranger Things card with their Argentine tango to Running Up That Hill. There was lots of rehearsal footage of, like, I'm guessing just the production crew slamming doors and then going, oh, what was that? Like they do in those series with Yvette Fielding, where she's like, oh, flick someone on the back of the hair and go, what was that? Was that a ghost?
You're so cynical. I wrote real ghost in training room, excited.
Oh, bless your heart, you little poppet.
Lovely.
It was a runner.
Church in Peckham. It was a glorious setting.
It was a
good
great
location
building.
Find. But yeah, brilliant place to dance.
Yeah.
Good. Have they not used it before? But anyway, it's a perfect Strictly location.
Yeah, brilliant. It was. It was really, really wonderful. I thought it was Wilton's Music Hall, but it turned out not.
No.
Really dilapidated spooktacles venue. Nice work.
A real ghost.
And a real ghost. You know me, Argentine tango. I'm a total sucker for it. I loved this. absolutely adored it. I don't know what Craig was watching, but we'll come on to that in a minute. I had high hopes because she is an incredible dancer. I just thought they made beautiful shapes. It was really dramatic. Those swift kind of whip around moves that look
leg
so
flicks as well.
Gorgeous. The kind of legs going between each other's legs thing, the
ganchos.
Oh my God, it was dynamic. I just bloody loved it. Shirley, referring once again back to her costume, as she kept needing to do, sort of put her finger under her shirt collar and said, "I'm hot under my collar," not hot under the collar, which I thought was charming. She said it was really strong. It was immaculate. She loved it. Anton said, "You're my kind of dancer. You're clean. Your timing's amazing." But he said it sort of lacked the intensity needed to make it a showstopper. I disagree.
It was really
I think it was hot.
It was really dramatic.
Hot sauce, hot mustard.
And there was I was trying to look past
sriracha,
it.
And sriracha, is that how you pronounce it?
The staging was so amazing.
Yeah.
I was trying to look past the fact they had incredible lights. And the light work made it more exciting than it was. So I was trying to stare past the fact it was staged beautifully with good music and everything. But they were in the middle of all that, lost, and I was still watching them. In the middle
too.
Of all that sort of Sturm und Drang, it was still, they were enough. They're brilliant, those two.
Oh, so effing good. Motsi said she doesn't know what's up with the boys because we loved it.
Yeah.
It had precision, it had control. Craig then said she appeared to be dancing two different dances.
A brilliant one and a great one.
Thank you.
What's your problem?
And then he said, and I missed the word, I should have wound it back, but I was in too much of a hurry to see the next dance. He said something was ugly, some shape she made, something she did was, and then he just said ugly with all the venom you'd imagine Morticia Adams would have at her disposal as she smiles sweetly and says something about you that utterly devastates you. Like, it was just really harsh.
I made a note of that. What happened was, and I don't think it's occurred to us how she's really, really young and really vulnerable.
She's 21.
She really wants this.
Yeah.
And you could see in her mind when she trotted up the stairs and she came for the post-match interview.
She was so confused.
She was very, very hurt.
Yeah.
And I suddenly thought, oh, I haven't noticed. And obviously you will do. She's a stage show kid. She's a new TV star. She's really hungry to win.
Of course.
She's very competitive, which is great for Strictly. But also you have to hold that in and not look too competitive.
Yeah.
It plays badly with the public. And I saw that his comment had gone in and she thought, have I done something wrong?
She was really confused.
This is me going home.
No, exactly. Because she was coming up the stairs. And Craig, basically, it was brutal. It wasn't like, oh, I didn't like this one. Or he was just like, it was ugly.
Yeah.
And I think it was like someone had shot her. She got to the top of the stairs. Claudia started asking her, I know this really means a lot to you, doesn't it? She started talking, trying to smile, and she was out of breath. And then just suddenly the tears just burst out of her because she couldn't not.
You just saw Carl's having to support
her and
things.
And she was trying to not cry. And I really felt for her. It might be the moment that actually won her a lot more fans. Because
I hope
she showed her vulnerability and humanity and the fact that, oh, God, I don't know what to make of that. Was that man just really mean to me? I think he was really fucking mean to me.
It had one of those few moments, a rare moment in Strictly where the meanness is always panto and it's always pretty safe. It's not X Factor. It's not meant to make you feel bad.
Mm.
And the sudden feeling that she was very, very vulnerable and very hurt. And the fact that Carlos leaned in and was very, very comforting to her. And he thought, I like their relationship. They're really nice. And he's aware, even if you're not, that she might be brittle and ambitious and frightened of the mean man. And then Claudia was caring and things, and everyone was very supportive of her, which is the Strictly way.
Mm.
But it was this moment I went, oh, you've revealed something I didn't know about you, which is that this is really important to you.
Yeah.
And it's funny, now Jade's gone. The one who really wants it is a place up for grabs.
Yeah,
and I wondered if Molly
had
just taken accidentally or even subliminally the role of the person for whom this is really important.
Oh, yeah, I felt like it was a dam bursting rather than a sort of a calculated move.
No, not at all.
Also, just to add to the pathos, she's wearing vampire teeth. So it was like a bit Janet Street Porter. She was trying to emote, but through some plastic teeth, it was just like, oh, you poor thing. It only made me love her more. I really like those two now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, next we go on to Tyler and Diane's, I thought, charming cha-cha-cha to Day-O, the Banana Boat song from Beetlejuice. I liked in that, because I think I saw a VT of them. You know, there's always a VT on the Strictly Socials afterwards of them coming out and they're standing in like a glittery corridor, breathless, having literally just come off stage. And she said something like, he was playing Beetlejuice and I was playing Winona. But she wasn't. She was playing
Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara's character.
Yeah, 100%.
Because she had the ginger hair and the glove and it was like, no. I thought she looked fantastic and I thought she got, whether she knew she was playing Catherine O'Hara or not, she got the characterisation really brilliantly. In her dancing, she played the character so well.
I had one problem with this. Tyler is brilliant.
Oh my God, his acting was amazing.
I mean, Tyler is brilliant. We know he's brilliant. I realised at the end of this dance, this is terrible, I liked Diane as Catherine O'Hara so much I hadn't watched him.
Oh no!
I like Diane anyway. I've got a bit of a crush on Diane, but this was like her as Catherine O'Hara. I went, oh, that's a bit of a double there. And I, at the end of it, I went, I was just watching Catherine O'Hara.
No, she was so, so brilliant.
When I focused back, I rewound and watched it again and watched him. But at the end of it, I went, that's really bad. Sometimes when the professional gets the costume right, I can't keep my eyes off them.
No. And the styling was so absolutely perfect. The glove, everything, the fringe, just even something about the way the wig was cut. She just looked great.
It was two brilliant performers as well, which really helps. The two of them, they are really good on camera.
But they did make him look spectacularly Keaton-esque. They really did pull it off. And I suppose I haven't really noticed because he's just sort of, he's good at sort of entertaining and I've never really seen him immerse himself in a role before. I really dug his acting. I thought it was really, really good. His American accent was flawless. He's a freaking DJ. He's not an actor. I have to remind myself of that. That this is not his skill set, but he was clearly just an all-round good entertainer. The tabloids are gossiping this week that it's him and Molly are having a little romance, which I'd be delighted about because, you know, they both seem like lovely boys and girls. The judges were, apart from Craig again, in unison with their delight. Motsy was on her feet. She said she really loved how he put all different types of, or the choreography put all different types of cha-cha into the routine. There was spice, there was chili, there was a bit of this and a bit of that. She really enjoyed it.
Ketchup.
She loved it. Some ketchup, some marmalade at one point, unexpectedly. Yeah. All the condiments. Anton said that the cha-cha is a revolting dance because there's so many steps to learn, which got a big reaction from the audience. Was great. I love how he has contempt for almost all stars of dancing that aren't ballroom in a very crisp, very high white collar. just absolutely disgusted by Latin as a concept. Just really enjoy it when it comes through. But he said it was brilliant, probably the best cha-cha-cha he's seen on Strictly, which is saying something. And then I'll bump down to Shirley before we go back up to Craig. She said, she told Craig off for his comments and said the body rhythms were oozing from Tyler. Obviously, she likes Tyler. Tyler's made it clear that he
is adjudicator friendly.
Yes, exactly. Had a great core. Just told him to keep working on it, but it was really, really good. She loved the routine. Craig said there was not a lot of cha-cha-cha in that, but he loved all the other dancing he did. So I guess the other styles that that Motsy appreciated, Craig didn't appreciate at all. He was unnecessarily harsh, I think, again. So he whopped out his 7 paddle. Motsy and Shirley, 2 9s. Anton, a straight up 10.
Yeah, I think Anton's always impressed when someone does a dance that is revolting well.
Yeah, exactly. I think so too. I would have probably been in danger of getting my 10 out for them. Yeah. It was definitely one of my dances of the night. I really enjoyed it. Now we move on to Helen and Gorka, who done a foxtrot to something to do with Little Red Riding Hood that I didn't recognise. Do you know the song?
No, I think this is we have to talk about this week because we had this problem with Theme Tunes Week.
Okay.
Is that I think one of the things that's really unfair on people is that the music makes such a big difference.
It really does. If it's a famous song that everyone knows, suddenly everyone loves the routine like 10 times more.
You're more sympathetic. And this one, there were moments this week where they chose unusual songs and unusual arrangements of it and it absolutely worked. And then sometimes they chose like an old, they found like they'd gone through an old sort of rock and roll novelty songbook and found the B one and this one.
Yeah.
And they're not great songs that people don't know. They're a bit clunky. The band obviously aren't really digging playing them as much. And that lack of energy coming off the band means that I think the dancers, you have to almost tune the music out in your ear and just watch them. which is not as much fun as being completely swept up in it.
Yeah.
And I think this was a perfectly good dance spoilt by a slightly clumpy, underwhelming song.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I think the styling of it, I always really like it when they do kind of like the costume designer, Vicky Gill, will come on to It Takes Two and maybe reveal a couple of this week's outfits. And it's always incredible just to see the work, the last minute kind of detailing they just add to something just before they go on stage. Like, it's amazing. But this costume, she's Little Red Riding Hood. There's like a kind of lovely red bodice. And then because I guess they're trying to do variations on tone, because Vicky Gill was saying this week, there's a lot of red, green, purple, like the Halloween-y colours. You don't want to repeat yourself too much. So instead of giving her this huge kind of, which I think it should have done, it's a foxtrot, it's a ballroom number.
Yeah.
Give her a big, red, poofy, lovely skirt that she can float around the ballroom in. But they gave her this kind of very unlayered, quite sort of lank, pink number. And I just, personally for me, visually, it would have looked wonderful had she been the fantasy kind of Little Red Riding Hood in the red chiffon, 10, 20 layers of chiffon skirting.
You want a bit gothic fairy tale.
Netting. Yeah, just really go for it.
But Company of Wolves, go a bit mad.
Honestly, yes, I felt they could have really gone the full Angela Carter with this, and they didn't. She's famous for dancing around in a ballroom skirt, right?
What I'm saying is that, as we've found that this week, there's not enough literary understanding of the horror canon.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. Read some Angela Carter, can't
you? Should have been a bit more gothic. Yeah, I thought she was, and I always like her stuff, I thought she was elegant. I thought the ending this week, the way it finished, was her sort of dismissing him, was exactly the kind of confidence and kind of F you kind of vibe we've been waiting for from her.
Yeah.
And you could see in her eyes, she went, I did it. And I thought the ending of this was exactly who she should be from now on.
Me too.
And who I was hoping she'd be, rooting for her all the way through. I thought she found herself at the very end of this dance. And if she watched it back, obviously she does watch them back, she told us afterwards.
She'll
see that. And I hope she sees it and goes, there I am.
Definitely. I think you're right. As long as Gorka like draws her attention to it and says, look, that's it. You've bottled it.
Yeah, it was sweet and elegant and a bit fiery at the end. It was great.
Yeah, completely. The signs of her going, fuck this shit. She's had such a crappy time.
Good. I want to see her do this.
Come on, Helen. So Craig commented on her left shoulder being slightly raised, but said she had a lovely flow. Moxie said, I adore watching you. You're getting stronger and stronger. And then she said, you're giving me, and I know I shouldn't say this, final vibes. And I agree. I think Helen and Kim particularly could go all the way. They're both so consistently good, getting better and better. As long as they don't end up in the kind of no woman's land of the mid-table zone, I think they are both really strong contenders for the final week.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see either of them go early. I think they deserve to go
semis
and quarters at least.
I voted for Kim this week, but I didn't need to because she was quite high on the table. But I did because I was just like, she is not going out on that run, but it was amazing. Mm. Shirley said, slow and steady always wins the race. I guess backing Motsi up there that she could keep going and going. She's always getting better. She's looking more comfortable up there. Just now, that's what they often say around this stage, is now you can do it. Finish every move, every arm, every foot, every extension. Finish everything really perfectly.
Eat up your dance greens.
Exactly.
Clean plates, please.
But you're on the right track. And Anton said it was a tremendous foxtrot. It had wonderful flow. She did a beautiful heel turn he was much admiring of. And that she just needs to hang more left. Do that lean back thing. She'll be grand. Craig gave her a 7, which I thought was stingy AF. Moxie and Shirley 8s and Anton a 9. And that man knows his ballroom. So again, just as with Shirley with Arumba, I only listen to Anton when ballroom is up for grabs. And
consult the experts. You're not Michael Gove, are you?
So she got 4 9s as far as I'm concerned. So with only now for how many dances to go? 3, 4 dances to go. I was getting overly optimistic there. Hamza and Jovita are next. They did. Sorry, it's Jovita, isn't it?
Jovita.
Sorry, I can't do her name.
Should we start it again?
No.
You're going to do it again? Because basically people will be angry with you for getting it
people
wrong.
People need to know that I have a memory lapse with some names and I cannot pronounce them no matter how hard I try.
Hence the newsreading gig never coming off. You can't
Jovita,
do it.
Jovita, there's been a coup in Mogadishu. see, I can do that. Okay, this week, Hamza and Jovita tangoed to Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. I will admit to having almost like a crush on this song when it came out. Obviously, I loved Chris Isaak. He was a very pretty boy. Mm. I was a teenager. I just remember learning all the words, buying the 7-inch single and playing it almost to the point of destroying the needle on my record player stylus because I loved this song.
This was a good choice.
March.
I'd made a little mental note after the couple of slightly disappointing, slightly clunky choices of songs so far. I went, you need songs with energy. You need a bit of guts and pith to it. choosing a cool song from a David Lynch film is a really, really good idea.
Yeah.
And then this arrangement of it, which was a slightly heavy metal arrangement of it,
yep,
with some squealing guitars. You went,
yep,
this is what I want, because then it gives me something to push against.
Yep.
And you can do the beautiful ballroom or anything, but against a bit of, every time they do something with a bit of energy that,
yeah,
isn't polite, that's got a bit, it's a bit brash. I really like this arrangement.
It can really land brilliantly. I think Bill and OT definitely...
Enter Sandman.
Lent to, yes, exactly. When they kind of went a bit rock and roll,
yeah,
and dark, it really, they pulled it off.
I was
easily
just thinking how good it would be if one of them did Rain in Blood by Slayer. I mean, it's Halloween week. You can do that.
Fuck it, Napalm Death. Why, yeah, not?
You don't get very long on the dance floor that way. Straight on, straight off.
I'd just like to apologise for my Napalm Death impression if that broke anybody's earphones.
Cultural appropriation, that is. No, it's fine. You're from the Midlands. It's fine.
Midlands, forever. Talking of something to push against, I liked her advice to him to imagine you're sitting on the toilet when you're doing the knee bends for the tango. That was excellent. I also really, really liked her impression of Radigo from The Ring in the training
montage.
Honestly,
if you open up Being Sadako, I'm entirely...
Sorry, is it Sadako?
Yeah.
I can never remember anyone's names. I think I've got dementia.
Yeah, the witch Radigo from the film Sing.
Stop it!
No.
I can't do rememberings anymore.
Have you had quite a tired morning?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're just recovering from a cold. It's fine. But Sadako, her opening Sadako joke was a proper horror joke.
It
done
was
really well. The production team done a beautiful treatment,
yeah,
on it. I rewound and watched it a couple of times, and her joy in it. I think she's a lovely performer.
Oh my god!
And
I
that was her. Her stuff in training montages is really charming. She does comedy really well.
She does.
She's lovely.
She's just a delight. The routine I thought was brilliant. The kind of concept of it is he's a sort of lovely, sad, lonely king trapped in a huge egg timer.
So him.
And then he smashes the egg timer, and then they do it. And she's either
from
some
the well-known story, the king
queen
and the egg timer.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I've got the Lady Bird book. It's brilliant. but anyway, even though the concept was batshit, they made me believe it, love it, fall in
also,
love with it, everything.
We didn't even make a note there. That was CGI, used well, wasn't in the way, very effective.
The egg timer was cool. In fact, his nose was just poking out of the glass slightly. But,
don't
you know,
spoil
you can't
the magic.
Have it. No, I'm sorry. Okay, it wasn't. It was fine.
You're as bad as Louis Theroux with the swan in the Paul Daniels thing. Don't spoil the magic. Ballet Imaginaire is pure magic.
Never look behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen. Motsi was on her feet. She was like really, really obviously enraptured by it. She said, it's always a treat to watch you. The way you move your spine is incredible. I think she's got it. To look at him, you wouldn't think he could articulate every vertebrae,
yeah,
so amazingly in the way that he does. Shirley said the choreography was great. It was really complicated. They did see some tiny missteps, you know, just in front of the judge's desk, but he just makes everything look easy. Anton said he's an accomplished ballroom dancer. Beautiful line. He said it wasn't his very best today, and maybe his left arm lost some shape when he was doing a very particular move, but they're picking on tiny things now,
yeah,
because he is such a good dancer. And Craig was asking, because it's a tango, for slightly more V-shaping, but he said he was such a great dancer. Craig gave him an 8, Shirley gave him an 8, Anton gave him an 8, and Motsi gave him a 9.
Which was very nice of them.
Not his highest scores, but one of my favourite dances of theirs. I haven't disliked one of their dances yet, but I really did enjoy this one. I love the way he looked as well.
Yes, actually, looking back, I think I didn't quite enjoy Jurassic Park, but otherwise, he's been really consistent from day one.
I never thought I'd hear you say the sentence, I didn't quite enjoy Jurassic Park, bearing in mind that Jurassic Park 2 is one of your favourite films,
yeah,
of
exactly,
all time.
I mean, no one got eaten in it. There wasn't enough chomping. There'd be more chomping in the Jurassic Park thing, because Jurassic Park is all about chomping. But yeah, and they weren't dressed as massive dinosaurs, so I was just disappointed they'd gone for that. But I was like, actually, if you look at him as his trajectory through the thing, he is so reliable. He is as reliable to watch as Kim is. There's almost no dip. It's just really good.
Solidly great work. So then we move on to Fleur and Vito, who were salsaring. I think most people have done their salsas now. This feels like one of the last ones still to go. To Break My Soul from Beyonce. It was her birthday. She was dressed as a spangly fortune teller.
he was Simon Bird.
Yeah, he really was. They're putting some very strange headgear lately. There were some really hard lifts. She was back, I felt, and probably the judges felt too, to kind of giving it everything to the point of, oh, are you giving it too much? I'm not sure. I think she's just, you know, aware that the dance-off is only ever 5 minutes away.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's just obviously just trying really hard.
I like watching her try too hard. Usually when people try
I
too hard...
I mean, it's an enjoyable thing to watch.
Will trying too hard, I found it awkward. And Richie trying too hard, awkward. I find most of them trying too hard, awkward. I love her when she tries too hard.
I like her energy.
That
I
edge
really
of
do.
Messiness, they always say. It's a bit messy. I went, no, it's exciting. It's thrilling.
It's explosive is what it is.
Yeah, I thought this was one of the best things of the night. I just wrote jaw-dropping down. There were a couple of lifts where she went back on his leg.
Yeah.
But I had to rewind because it looked like she was just hovering above
the
ground.
It's completely mental.
Sensational choreography. She is absolutely brilliant. I love her
dancing.
What
I really, really liked and kind of almost wanted to join her in the one woman ovation was when Motsy said, maybe this is a different type of energy we're seeing. Maybe we're not used to seeing a woman looking powerful and strong and full of energy. And I thought, yeah, fuck you, the patriarchy. I mean, that's really what I think all the time.
Yeah.
But especially in this, because I thought, what a brilliant thing to say as a judge. Yes, some technique definitely gets lost when Fleur is firing all cylinders. But fuck me, you can't take your eyes off her. And it's not like she doesn't do the hard stuff. She is taking risks the whole time.
When you watch her in rehearsal, there's moves she does and they'll slow them down or whatever. And I watching her rehearsals, usually when you watch
it's
the rehearsals,
mad,
they're
it?
A little bit clumpy and they're getting there. She is on point. You can see she's focused. She's trying really
so
hard.
Focused.
There are sort of leaps and things she's doing. And you just go, this is great. Even the rough footage when she's just like sort of in her trackies, she looks great. I think she's such a good dancer.
Oh, I do too. Shirley said she was extremely powerful. They have a lovely connection when they're dancing. And again, repeating the mantra of week six, now start to finesse. Like, so when you're getting to the end of a movement, obviously even in that riotously fast routine, finish everything. But she said, well done. Anton said, oh, it comes at you. He kind of had one of those slightly sort of verbal diarrhea reactions to it. Wahey! He said it's a very kind of on the edge energy. This week, maybe she was back on the cusp again. Like, so not quite as controlled as he wants her to be. But there is something really exciting about, like you said, it's not discomfort when she goes to that place. It's exciting. But he was clearly advising caution, saying be aware that your energy needs
she'll lose points for that. As in, I watch it. The annoying thing is that kind of dancing is the kind of thing that I think should win the audience over because it's exciting to watch. It should be one that the judges knock a couple of points off, but the audience
but we
just
at
go,
home are going,
this is exciting. I can't work out apart from
can't you
apart from the obvious thing, which I don't want to keep saying because I don't want to think that of the world why she keeps ending up the dance off because I think she is. Brilliant to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. Craig said it was a little bit messy for me. You've got to be really smooth, but he did say it was still absolutely incredible. I think that if that's the thing that keeps coming for her, you're an eye-popping dancer, but you're not professionally finished and finessed as a professional would be, then, you know, what more can she do? Like, she is really throwing everything at this. She got eights across the board. And a birthday cake, and everyone sang happy birthday to her. But obviously, to end up in the frickin' dance-off on your birthday is like, phew, here's mud in your eye. Anyway, now we move on to Ellie and Nikita, which I think, for me, this is the other slight misstep of the evening.
Yeah,
very not their
much.
Fault, what they were given to do. It was a foxtrot to the Scooby-Dooby-Dooby-Doo theme
exactly.
tune.
Exactly, so it's a winner for me.
And they didn't make either of them dress up as a dog. That's also a win. and she looked super, super cute as Velma, that wig, the glasses. Yeah. It kind of...
The characterisation was spot
on. Her character coming through those rather thick glasses was great.
She's still so good as a performer.
I only just noticed this week that she's Midlands, right? I definitely heard some Brummy coming through and I was like, oh, I had no idea. You are Midlands. Aha. I've got your number now. They did a really nice VT at Hampton Court where Neil Jones basically stole the whole VT. Like, oh, what are you up to these days, Neil? Oh, no, they're keeping me busy. Bit of this, bit of that. It's like, oh, bless him.
Yes, that was a nice VT. I like the running
so
around in the
much.
Corridors, the Scooby-Doo references in Hampton Court.
Yeah.
But running in and out of the doorways. It was really, that was a good spirited Halloween one.
I
do like Halloween VTs. They're all right.
Yeah, no, they're fun. When they have really good fun with them, lots of comedy, it's always a delight. So they were doing a foxtrot and in my head, I was watching a slow motion version of a dance because obviously in my head, hearing that music, it's a quick step. Yeah. That isn't a foxtrot.
Yeah.
So it looked, and Craig said it was boring, but I think it was just the wrong dance with
complete
the wrong music.
Mismatch.
So they looked like they were on slow-mo when obviously what they were doing was an accurate foxtrot.
Yeah.
Her footwork was great. Everything about it, I thought her frame, everything was good. But oh my God, I didn't like watching it, not for a second. I hated the way it was so slow.
I really worried about it. I thought this was going to be dance-off material because actually it was quite boring to watch.
So dull.
And no one was doing anything wrong. And I kept watching it for other stuff apart from enjoying the dance. So going, oh, her performance is great. Actually, some of this choreography is really clever.
Yeah.
But it was...
Her footwork
was
impeccable. Yeah.
You end up watching it academically, which meant that it probably would do okay with the judges. But in terms of it being entertaining, and it was just... We're back to theme music. Sometimes the theme music for the show you're dressed up as doesn't match the dance you're doing.
But quite
often, too limiting.
Normally they're better at doing, normally they will pick a song that's not very Halloween, but it is what they need to do the foxtrot this week. The Scooby-Doo idea, obviously the styling, everything, lovely and fun, but not a foxtrot. It isn't a foxtrot. I hope they never make that mistake again.
Yeah.
Because genuinely that could have put her in the dance-off.
It was very unfair.
I would have been quite angry on her behalf. Craig gave it a 6, which is bullshit. Just because you don't like the concept, which has nothing to do with Ellie or probably Nikita, doesn't mean you can throw a 6 at the woman who does footwork like that. That is completely unfair. Motsy an 8, Shirley a 7, Anton an 8. They all agreed her footwork was really good, but on the whole, just the routine wasn't happening. It wasn't firing at all, was it?
No, probably one of the really flat moments of the night, and it shouldn't have been because it was no fault of her own.
Yeah, and also it stopped and started a lot, I think, which Craig mentioned.
Yeah.
He said both he found it boring and it was stop-start. It was. There was lots of... I thought the choreography was bad. I just thought it was bad.
She was moving from place to place a lot.
She had to get from one place to another, and it was walking, and it's like she hadn't been trained in how to dance between the dancing.
I think as well it was really cruel at coming straight after Fleur, who was just... The energy of Fleur's one was electrifying, and then this was very static, and it was meant to be cartoony.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, the cartoon energy is coming off the music, it's a cartoon theme, and they're dressed cartoony, and then they're just they appear to be sort of wandering about during
it. I feel like all the furniture around Ellie let Ellie down this week, because she is a top-notch dancer, and just a shame that concept was slightly eggy. And then we come to the end of the show. Obviously, when you know that they're ending the show, I'd seen during the week that they were both wearing frocks and that they were doing I Put a Spell on You, which I'm sure Strictly has used about a million times.
I think it's every Halloween.
But I don't care. Ellie and Johannes did a couple's choice. So again, anything's on the table. There are no rules.
They can do the conga, they can pogo,
literally
madness, nutty train, everything's open.
I wish they had done that. But also, no, I don't. This dance was amazing. So they're dressed as like the witchy sisters from Hocus Pocus. So I guess Bette Midler and I don't know, one of the others. Kathy Najimy, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Johannes Cena. I've got mental block about how to say his name as well now.
It's Jovita.
Thank you, Jovita Hannes. He looked actually beautiful. The man wears drag super well. I don't know if that's something he's done often, but he did look stunningly
pretty. This was a dynamic moment that I went... Last week I was saying I've been waiting for these two. It was really interesting. We had the journey... What's the journey of Ellie
of their,
and JoJo?
Of their pairing,
and initially you went, oh, we've not got the sensational sexual chemistry we had last year, so what's it going to be? Mm. And it was a bit awkward for a bit. And then suddenly they became best friends when they're down on the farm doing the milking.
Yeah, the farm was good,
And
actually.
Then this week I went, oh, shit, they're not best friends. They're sisters. They're naughty sisters. And the naughty sisters, the sort of best mates thing, I went... Oh, you're doing this as a same-sex partnership.
Yeah, they
this
really
is the
did.
New Jade and Karen.
Yeah.
And it had that energy.
Ooh, that is clever.
And I just thought this had opened up something I hadn't seen before. And she was loving it. He was loving it. Also, it's a liberating thing for her to be given a different sort of partnership.
Totally.
She's not in a romantic pairing. And she's loving it. She's a comedian. She did it brilliantly.
She really, really did. And it was nice that they sort of prefaced it with that VT about how she fell into stand-up comedy.
That was really nice.
Which was also really, just a nice, I think... She's obviously getting the votes every week because she's never been in the dance-off and she's not always top of the table. Did end top of the table this week, and I thought rightly so. But it was nice to kind of get a bit more of an insight into her, and I think it sort of made her more of a character, more of a human being than just this very funny lady who's also happens to look incredibly beautiful. The judges went absolutely wild for it. Motsy said it was her favourite dance tonight. She was so entertained. Shirley also said it was spellbinding. The fingerography was incredible. The kind of what she does with her arms and her hands was amazing.
The little moments that there were details in it. This is the other one where, a bit like Fleur, with the montage, the training montage, little moments of slow motion where you saw what she was doing.
Yeah.
There was a single leap that she did in slow motion where she was in sync with Johannes. They both leapt in the air.
Yeah.
And it was, because it's couple's choice, it's not, I imagine, a standard dance move. It's something you might see at the West End or whatever. And it was a leap of joy and the two of them together leaping in the air, and I went, this is amazing.
That's it, that's the shot, that's the shot.
It was just happiness.
Yeah, absolutely. And Craig said, although there was one bit where she was slightly ahead of the time there, because they were doing so much synchronized stuff, there was one bit where she just got there before him, but otherwise it said one of your best dances, or probably your best dance. And Anton said loved it, best dance. All of them just said best of the night, absolutely loved it. She ended up with Craig 8, 3 9s from the others, and finished joint top of the table on 35 points. And then she, just to top it all off, I mean, she was so shocked by the judges' comments. And then, you know, Claudia said, how was that? And she just went through like the tick list of what she'd just done. She's like, this is the best moment of my life. Or well, one of them, certainly. And yeah, that was it was a perfect way to end. They did produce that really, really well this week. I wondered if she was up to closing a show. I wasn't sure what they'd pull out of the bag with the couple's choice, but the choreography was just lovely. It was very musical theatre. I felt like I could watch a whole show with those two characters. Yeah. Like, I fucking loved it.
It was also a brilliant Halloween routine.
Yeah.
As in, the whole point of this week is it's supposed to be fun and cartoony and larger than life. And that's why I think it felt so cruel when Ellie's piece was cartoony and didn't work.
Yeah.
And it was really nice to see, oh, this is how it works when it's done brilliantly.
Yeah.
As in, you get to be these big, large.
You go large,
yeah. What Helen was saying, you get to go bigger than usual.
Yeah.
It's Panther. Look at the judges this week. The whole point is to go big, and what a brilliant ending. They were dressed as sensationally as the judges.
Totally.
And it felt like this is the spirit of the show.
Completely. So we finished with Tyler and Diane and Ellie and Johannes at 35 points, topping the leaderboard. Down at the bottom, Ellie and Nikita on 29 and James and Amy on 27. Everybody else is in the early 30s, milling about in the middle. I was also delighted to see, Sunday today, Morticia trending on Twitter, but not Gomez. Shirley will be fuming.
She should watch some videos and learn the difference between Mr. Banks and Gomez Adams.
Absolutely. As we know now, obviously, James and Amy, who were on 27 points, ended off in the dance-off with Fleur and Vito, who were, well, they were a few places above them on the leaderboard. They were on 32. So Fleur again, back in the dance-off, where I don't think she belongs.
Oh,
obviously,
God.
It's not always the person with the lowest score that ends up there. But for her to be there twice, it just feels like a real slap in the face because she is not dance-off material. She's a staggering dancer. You could see immediately on James's face, I'm in the dance-off with who? I am so going home.
Yeah.
Like he was in a very sweet way back in the dressing room, packing up his little bag. and getting ready to go and packing up his beekeeper's costume and getting ready to leave.
Oh, imagine going out and going, it was me, I dressed as a beekeeper as
well,
I went out.
I mean, there were worse things to be dressed as. We were a sexy lobster. but it was the right result. All the judges were in unison with that. They were always going to save Fleur. She's the better dancer.
Yeah.
James was coming to the end of his time.
Yeah.
Tony obviously still getting the votes despite being sort of good this week. I wonder what will happen next week if he's either about the same or back to being shit again.
I wonder
how much charm there is left in that.
I don't know. Because
a try thing.
Because, obviously the underdog thing is it was keeping him in. I must admit, if he'd gone home this week having been a little bit better, I would have been disappointed. I want to see.
Oh, no, don't say that.
But I do. I understand the public want. I mean, apart from liking him and being a popular celebrity in it, I'd like to see what happens next week. I want to see, partly because I want to see what Katya's doing with him. If she can take him further.
True.
This is a miracle. This is what the show's about.
It's keeping her in as well, isn't it? I love watching her.
And it's about teachers and pupils. And that is a teacher-pupil relationship that's going somewhere really interesting. So, weirdly, I've been dying for Tony to go because he doesn't deserve to be there. And this week I went, okay, give you one more week.
Oh, he's pulled you back in.
He tricked me in. But actually, I'm interested in their story, I think, a little bit. Probably more interested than I was with James and Amy. So
maybe definitely.
That's
I think he was just nice. And unfortunately, there's too much else going on. He was always going to slightly fade into the background.
Not enough.
So that's it. That's Halloween week. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I think the right result there, definitely. Next week is anybody's guess. There's no theme, sadly. So it's just dancing week again.
Oh.
It's 7 week on Strictly. It's week 7.
Yeah.
Who knows what will happen and where the plucky loser journey will take Tony next.
I'm expecting it to be based on the film 7. I would like it to end up with Amy's head in a box.
No, not lovely Amy.
Well, she's been removed. You never know where they go afterwards. Some of them are made into dog food.
Oh, God. Yes, they probably delicious dog food. With all sparkles in it. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we appreciate you indulging us. We really enjoyed Halloween week, as expected. We'll be on Twitter if you want to come and say hi. I will try and spend a bit more time on the account this week. Sorry, we've been busy doing things. We're at Curses Strictly. Is there anything you'd like to say in your defence before we go, Joel?
I didn't do it.
Thank you. No, well that's unequivocal then. We will see you next week. But in the meantime...
Don't stop dancing. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.